the word. God, thank you for this time that we could come and learn more about who you are. I pray that you just open our hearts, that we could hear your truth, God, and that it would change our lives, that we would listen, and that our lives would be radically changed by who you are. I pray that you just speak through me, take away all the distractions from these students, God, and I just pray that you would just speak truth through my mouth tonight. We love you. Thank you for your son. Amen. So, I'm glad you guys are doing good. I'm glad school's going well. Spring break's coming up in like a couple months, right? So hang in there, okay? Hang in there. I know it's tough. I've been there, but hang in there. What series have we been going through for the past couple of months here at Firehouse? What was the title of the series? Or what was the subject? Close?
Grace.
Grace. We've been talking a lot about grace. Ring some stuff back at me what we've talked about.
Pruning,
yeah, having trees that are actually producing fruit. We talked about the vines. We're not talking about real like farming. We're talking about like spiritual harvest. So most of you guys were here and heard all that stuff.
Bearing fruit.
Okay, just covered that.
Jesus,
grace. Okay, all these things. Good. We're transitioning out of the grace series and we're moving into the repentance series. Does anyone know what repentance is? What it is to repent? Somebody tell me.
Asking for forgiveness of sins.
It's like telling, like committing that you sinned and then asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, so there's like this admitting process as well. Like, God, I admit that I did this, as well as asking for the forgiveness. It's the recognition of what you've done wrong, as well as asking for God to change you. Is there anything you have to do in repentance? I know I haven't talked about it yet, but I know you guys are pretty smart. What do you think our part in repentance is? Is there some change that has to be involved? Like, for instance, if Carson walked up to me and slapped me in the face, which has happened on multiple occasions before, I'm just kidding, it would obviously make me a little bit angry, right? Should I be angry?
No.
Yes, I should be angry. I should slap him back. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But I should be angry. And say Carson does it like, say he's done it like 5 times this past week. And he comes up to me tomorrow and I see him and I'm just like, Carson, stay away from me. I don't want you to slap me. And he's like, no, Matt, I'm really sorry. I promise I won't do it again. I'm so sorry I've done this to you. And I say, okay. And then he slaps me in the face again. That's not real repentance, right? So we do have a part in it. You guys get what I'm saying? We have a part in this repentance process, and we're going to be talking about that this evening and for the next few weeks. We don't have to do this on our own. That's the beautiful thing. So without me rambling on all these side topics, let's just go ahead and get in the Word. If you have your Bibles, which I see none of you do, it's okay. It's on the screen. Good work. It's on the screen. We're in. It's not a big deal if you don't have your Bibles. I'm just pulling your chain. Pulling your leg, pulling your elbow. I don't know why people... Do you know why they originated the phrase pulling your leg?
Because people are pulling their leg.
Yeah, but there's got to be like some significance.
Because
like
it makes people
like if I was messing with Jack, I would be like, that's weird. All right, anyways, if you guys have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'll read it to you. Forgive me, I've only got half of a good eye, so there might be some problems here in my reading. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. As punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affections. In return, widen your hearts also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with the lawless? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, which is another name for Satan? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling place among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out in their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Whew, that was a lot of reading. I have a confession to make since we're talking about repentance. You were talking to me yesterday. I think Coach Nevad, for those of you guys who know Coach Nevad, go to MICS. We were talking in his class the other day, and he's like, yeah, I remember when old Denyer and Gergis were at MICS. And it seems like it was a long time ago now, and some of the older adult leaders are probably mad at me for saying that. But Carson was saying, yeah, my grandma remembers when I was in your class. And I was like, yeah, I remember your grandma's class. And we were talking and stuff like that, and this thought came to my mind. I was talking about how much reading I just had to do. We had this book in her class, and I don't remember what the name of the book was. And we were supposed to be reading this book all, like, the whole class. And it was about, like, this kid that lived on this cul-de-sac, and they went tobogganing in the snow on a mattress. I don't know if you guys have ever... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The moral of the story is this was like a 30-something chapter book. It was like this thick, and I did not like reading. So I read the first two chapters, and then I skipped, and then I read like the middle two chapters, and then I skipped, and I read the end. I looked up Spark Notes online. I pretended I read the whole thing. So I'm repenting before you guys for my sinfulness and my reading in the fifth grade. So, you guys know, even I'm not perfect. I know you thought I was, but I'm not. But on a serious note, I know that was a lot for you guys to listen to. Those were 18 different verses. 2 Corinthians is just packed with some really solid stuff. Chapter 5 and chapter 6 give a really good just biblical transition between grace and repentance and how they kind of coincide. So I want to just hit on a couple things, just emphasize on a couple verses with you guys tonight. Instead of going through all 18 of them, we'd be here too long. Okay, so we talked about what repentance is. We have to understand as well, repentance is actually a gift that God has given us. We know what grace is. Grace is a gift from God, but repentance is also a gift from God. God, through His grace, allows us to repent. I know that's like something that's like kind of confusing, but if you think about it, God allows us to come before Him and say, I'm sorry and I want to change who I am. He's not this mean God that just wants to throw these lightning bolts at us. You guys have heard the message of salvation here at Firehouse. You guys know the gospel. I hope all of you have heard it. If there's some new people in here and you're curious about what I'm talking about, grab one of the leaders in the back. You guys know the gospel. We have a loving God that cares about you. And even being able to repent is a gift of love from Him to us. And we have a huge part in our repentance, but it's something that He's allowing us to do. So that's a huge thing, because we can't even repent to God about what we did to God without Him letting us do that. It just shows how powerful our Creator is. But I want to hit on specifically tonight verses 1, 10 through 13, mainly verse 12, and then 14b. Verse 1 says, working together with Him, then we appeal to you to not receive the grace of God in vain. So it says, working together with him, we appeal to you to not receive this grace in vain. Who do you think the him is referring to? Working together with him. God. Really good guess. It's the Bible. It talks a lot about God. You're right. But if you didn't know who that him was, sometimes it's good to go back. If you guys are ever, you know, doing your own personal quiet time or reading through the Word, and you get somewhere and you're kind of like stuck, maybe you start a new chapter, you just flip your Bible open and do one of these numbers. Sometimes that works. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Go back, go forward. Make sure to read the entire context. You don't need us pastors or adult leaders or whatever to be able to understand the Bible. You guys can understand it for yourselves. We're just here to help teach topics and subjects and ideas and get a deeper meaning to you guys. So if you were reading this on your own and you read that and you're like, who is this he it's talking about? Flip back to chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 17 through 21 to you real fast. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's saying he's given us the gospel to share. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to become sin, so we might become his righteousness. Because of everything that he's done for us, those 4 or 5 verses is just a beautiful summary of what the gospel is. Because of what he has done for us, we should have this just overwhelming desire to live for him. For those of us who are in Christ, who are saved, who have a relationship with God, when we read this, it should change our lives. It should change the way that we look at the world around us. It should put this burning passion inside of us. And I know you guys say, well, Matt, I'm young and blah, 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 and all these excuses. I have excuses even now as a young adult. Adults even have excuses about things. Believe it or not, it does happen. But this grace, this gift that we've been given, should change our lives. It should change the way that we look at the people around us, and the way that we love people. And part of this includes repentance. This change in our lives, this radical difference that should happen inside of us, part of that process, because of the grace God's given to us, is this idea of repentance. You can't exclude repentance from grace. They work very well together. There's some different scriptures that cover this, and I want to hit Luke 24:47 real quick. That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name, talking about God, to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You guys know where Jerusalem is, right? Where?
In Israel.
What's so significant about Jerusalem? It's the city of God. Yes, you're right. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, same page. No words, but I know exactly what you're saying. Jerusalem was a very significant place to these people. And when he's saying, in this context, he's saying, starting in Jerusalem. You guys know the Great Commission, right? And at the end of Matthew, can somebody rattle it off to me? Our church mission statement is kind of gone off of that. Anybody got it? No one? Okay. It talks about taking the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the idea of a Jerusalem, for you guys, let's put it in layman's terms. Jerusalem is Merritt Island. Okay, you guys live in Merritt Island. You don't live in Jerusalem. Okay, some of us live in Cocoa. Okay. Represent Port St. John. Yep. I'm a 32927 member now as well. I just
32926.
32927. That's Port St. John.
It is.
Yeah. Don't rep the call if you don't know the digits, man.
Hey, you got
But let's pretend Merritt Island is our Jerusalem. That verse says that we should proclaim his name to all the nations beginning, listen guys, proclaim his name to all the nations beginning in where? Jerusalem. Beginning in, for you guys, Merritt Island and Cocoa and Port St. John and Rockledge. But let's just say Merritt Island just so that we don't all scream 30 different cities so that we're all on the same page. As adult leaders here at Firehouse, we want to see a revival in Merritt Island. Our church, we want to see a revival in Merritt Island. We want it to start here in our Jerusalem. And you guys are the ones that are going to start that. If any generation can do it, it's our generation. It could be the older generation. It could be the babies, if God wanted it to be. It could be the young generation, the middle age. All we want to see is a revival. And let me jump to verses 11 through 13 and for 2 Corinthians 6. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, widen your hearts also. We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Let's change Corinthians. Let's make you guys the Corinthians. Let's make you guys who we're talking to. We as Firehouse leaders, we care about you. We love you guys. We literally have opened our hearts to you, not in like a weird way, but we've opened our hearts to you guys freely. And I think some of you guys are being, like this verse is saying, are being held back by your own affections. I'm held back by my own affections. I'm not saying I've achieved this perfection and you guys should worship me. I think everyone with flesh has fallen into sin, has fallen into their own affections. But Rob gets up here every Wednesday night and is just blasting the word at you guys, loves you guys. And some of you guys are claiming Christ, and this message really stands out for high schoolers more so than junior high, and I'm not saying you guys, but you're in a different place. 2 to 3 years from now, you're going to have a bombardment of tons of different things. Some of you guys are being exposed to it now, and it sickens me, and it makes me sad, but when you hit high school, it's a different ball game. And when you hit college, that's a different ball game. And my fear is that some of you guys have turned over to your own affections instead of to Christ. You're being held back from your potential in Christ by your own affections. What do you think I'm talking about when I say own affections? Let's use like modern terminology. Affections, the things that we cherish, the things that we care about. It's not saying that having affections are bad. I would pray that you guys are affectionate towards Christ. The problem with our affections is our sin nature like taints us to love things that aren't perfect. It taints us to love sin. It taints us to love the world. It taints us to love ungodliness. And sin is this slippery slope. It starts as something very simple and can snowball into this massive thing that you never even know hit you. And I think our biggest fear as adult leaders, because I was in y'all's seat not that long ago. I went through junior high. I went through high school. Went through college, now I'm here as an adult leader, and there are people that were sitting beside me, you know, just like if I was one of you guys, I'm not going to sit on your Skittles, but as if I was one of you guys, there's going to be people in this group of people here that are going to turn from the gospel. They're going to leave what they know is truth. And it saddens me. It breaks my heart because I have these friends that I care about a lot, that I went to a Christian school with, that I just love, that have completely walked away from God, that don't care. They want nothing to do with God. And it's sad. I think that's our greatest fear here as adult leaders, is that some of you guys would turn to your own affections instead of turning to Christ. And they're two polar opposites. They're two very different choices that you have to make. Again, affections aren't bad things. I have affections for things. I have things I enjoy, but our
our heart here is that you have an affection for Christ above everything else. No matter what you do in life, no matter where you go to school or what sports you play or where you want to go to college or who you want to marry or what job you want to have, or the list goes on and on and on. Those aren't bad things. But we want you to be affectionate for Christ first. And our fear, my fear for you guys, is that some of you, if you haven't already, may turn to your own affections instead of turning to Christ. And it says, we've spoken freely to you. I'm up here speaking to you now. It's not the easiest thing to get up in front of a group of people. The more that I've done it, the more I get used to it. And the more that God is using that. But it's not the easiest thing to do. Imagine if you got, it's almost like, not in a bad way, but this is almost kind of like a homework project. I have to study, I have to read through tons of scripture, use all these different books, and I have to put this message together from what I think God is telling me. It's not the easiest thing. And I'm putting this time in because I care about you guys. And like verse 13 is saying, on the flip side, if I'm opening up to you, open up to me. If Rob is opening up to you, open up to Rob. If Mr. Stallone is opening up to you, open up to him. These leaders are here because they care. They're not here to play boggy afterwards or nine square, even though that happens a lot, or to watch the band. If you think about it, there's probably a lot better things that, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 somethings could be doing on a Wednesday night. I didn't throw the five in there for you. Don't worry. But, I mean, think about it. There's probably better things I could be doing, but I don't feel that way. I don't think about it that way. There's no place that I would rather be on a Wednesday night. There's no place that your adult leaders would rather be on a Wednesday night. There's no place that Rob would rather be on a Wednesday night, because we're opening our hearts to you guys because we care. We have a passion for you guys to grow spiritually. And on the flip side, please do the same for us. If we're opening up for you, please open up for us. I think one of the biggest things, and I think it's even more difficult for guys, so girls, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's a lot harder for guys to open up to each other because we got this, you know, tough guy mentality, and we have to be big and bold, and we have to have all the answers and know everything and whatever it might be. But sometimes it's harder for dudes to open up to each other. Girls usually are an open book, like, oh my goodness, you should have seen what Sally did to me today. I can't believe it, blah, 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 blah. And just, if someone doesn't stop you, you won't stop. You know what I'm saying? Am I wrong? No, I'm right. Thank you, fellas. But on the flip side, this is what you fellas do wrong, is, hey man, how's your walk with Christ? Good, man. Cool. And that's the extent of it. And it's funny, but it's true. Girls are just, bup, 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 and guys are like this. And sometimes girls doing this isn't, I'm saying it's a good thing, like that you're opening up, but sometimes it's not a good thing. And guys, this is not a good thing. If you're a real tough guy, if you're a real dude, you can open up to another brother in Christ and say, hey man, this is what's going on in my life. I'm struggling with this, or I'm unsure about this. Could you pray for me? And even more so than opening up to your adult leaders, and opening up to your parents, and opening up to your friends about things that are going on in your life, talking about spiritual things, open up to God. Some of you guys, I pray everyone in here has a relationship with Christ, but there's probably 25 or 30 of you in here, including the adult leaders. High school, there's probably about 40 to 50 tonight because it's raining. You know, maybe you're all saved. But maybe you're not. And my prayer for you guys that don't know Christ, that might have these questions, is open your heart to God. He's there. He's waiting. He's listening. He wants to know you. He has a passion for you. I'm saying that I care about you guys, and Rob cares about you guys, and the adult leaders in the back care about you guys. Christ cares about you way more than we ever could. Anyways, just so many things. I mean, I've watched Rob cry over you guys. Like, I've sat in his office and prayed with him, and I watched him on Valentine's Day up here, and I've seen other leaders do it too. I've watched, you know, a 30-something 8-year-old grown man cry about you guys because he loves you guys and he cares about you. If we're opening up to you, please open up to us. Again, pour your heart out to God. Much more than to us, pour your heart out to God. Some of you might be thinking, well, Matt, you're saying open up and tell people all these things or tell God all these things, but you don't know. Like, you don't know my circumstance. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the things that have happened to me or the things that I've done. But here's the deal, guys. Christ already paid for it. If you're in Christ, if you have a relationship with Him, He's already paid for it. He's already taken care of it. So there's nothing that you can come to Christ about that He doesn't already know about and that He hasn't already forgiven. That's for people that know Christ and for people that don't know Christ. There's nothing too bad that you've done to someone or someone has done to you or whatever. There's nothing too bad that Christ can't forgive, that Christ can't cover, that Christ can't take care of. It's already been paid for. There's nothing He won't accept about you. I know you guys are in that transition phase, and I was talking about the girls doing the Sally said. You guys are in this like weird phase where you're trying to become accepted, and some of you guys are like starting to have voice cracks because your voices are dropping. I'm like 23 years old and I still have voice cracks because I don't know if my voice will ever drop. You're going through all these weird transitions, and one of the biggest things is, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be accepted. I don't know if someone's going to love me. And you guys could feel alone. You could feel very loved and accepted. I mean, look at Jonah. Is there a cooler guy in the room than Jonah? Jonah probably feels very accepted. No is the right answer. But some of you guys might not feel like Jonah. I'm just using you as an example. But some of you guys might not feel like Jonah. You might feel like, man, nobody likes me. Man, nobody cares about me. Here's the deal. The Creator of the universe loves you and cares about you. Not only is there nothing that you can do that He won't accept, but there's nothing about you that He doesn't like. There's nothing about you that He doesn't love. He hates sin, but He loves you. And we talked about the limbs and the fruit. Our part in it is there does have to be repentance. Yes, there's a God who loves us, but we do have to repent for the things that we've done. We do have to come before God with a sincerity, with honesty, saying, God, I want to change this. If you don't want to change, God's got to put that desire in you. You can't force yourself to change something. It's impossible. It's literally impossible for you to force yourself to want to change something bad in your life. God has to do that. If there's a sin that you're struggling with, you can beat yourself to a pulp. It talks about these people in the Bible that used to whip themselves because of their sin. They used to literally beat themselves and whip themselves. There's nothing that they could do to physically harm themselves that would take their sin away. God has to do that, and He will do that, but you have to come before Him with honesty. And I talked about repentance as two-part. You say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? But there does need to be some change. Again, if Carson slapped me, boom, 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 and said, hey man, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I say, yeah. And then he comes back and slaps me again. You know, that's not true repentance. And there's a fine line as well. Because when you are struggling with sin or you're struggling with something, sometimes there's not immediate victory. Just being honest with you guys, sometimes there's not an immediate victory where that changes. God always provides that. See, there's a voice crack right there. God always provides that victory for us, but maybe there's something we're not doing or whatever. And sometimes there's not immediate victory. So I don't want you to think that if you mess up after trying to repent before God, that He's done with you then. Like, oh, I already did the process. I messed it up, so now I'm done. No, He's still waiting with open arms. Hopefully He doesn't have sweat pits like I do. God doesn't sweat. Sweat is a result of sin. Says that in Genesis when work is going to be toilsome. But He's waiting with open arms. Maybe I should do it this way so you don't stare at my sweat pits. But He's waiting with open arms. So if you come before God and repent, and things don't immediately change, but you do have this twisting like burden, this desire in your heart to change, He will change it in you. Verse 14, what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord does Christ have with Belial or Belial or blah, 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 blah? Just put Satan. That's saying Satan. Belial is Satan. The Bible uses that in the Old Testament. It uses that word in the book of Judges. And it talks about the worshipers of Belial or Belial. The worshipers of Satan, they call them worthless men. They call them worthless men. Was that me? Something was like jingling and I thought it was me. Oh, it was you guys. It's okay. It's not a big deal. It doesn't bother me. It was weird. It was like every time my foot hit the ground, I heard that like, ping. I was like, sorry, I'm distracting you. Satan's distracting. But it calls them worthless men. Light and darkness, they don't go together. The light changes the darkness, but they don't go together. There's another verse I want to read to you guys. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:21, I think I got that right. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. And what I'm saying here, guys, is some of you might be at that transition where maybe you don't care. You know, just being honest, I've been at times in my life where I knew the right thing, but I didn't care. And it's a really bad place to have yourself in. It's a really poor place to be in. And God has to change that desire in you. And I hope none of you are there right now, but maybe you are. And you have to understand that sin is not a good thing. Sin is bad. I know that's like, oh, sin is bad. Wow. But it's bad. God cannot have a part with sin. You can't sit at the table of the Lord and the table of demons at the same time. And I'm not saying that you guys are yanking out Wicca books and calling on all these spells and stuff, but sin is sin. Sin's a real thing. It exists. Either you're sitting at the table of the Lord or the table of demons. That's like, wow, he's talking about demons. It's getting intense. But they're polar opposites. You guys know like black and white. We use that to like describe things. You know, sometimes we might say something and it seems like it's kind of a gray area, and they're like, no, I want you to tell me black and white what you think. It's that same picture, black and white. Sin is black, you know, God is white. Like, these are two polar opposites. These are two very different things. And some of you need to hear that. You need to hear that sin is wrong. Maybe you haven't had that conviction before. Maybe God isn't convicting you, but sin is wrong. It's bad. It's unhealthy for you, especially if you're in Christ. If you're claiming Christ, sin is bad. It separates you from God. It quenches the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't work in your life when you're living in sin. It quenches the Spirit. He's less effective in your life. So repent. Repent. I pray that God changes your heart and you come before Him and repent. Because these two things can't be in the same camp. Sin can't be in the camp. Can't sit at God's table and at the devil's table at the same time. You guys know my wife, Jess, right? Some of you guys know her. She's pretty funny. She's usually kind of quiet unless she knows you, and then she'll ba 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 ba. But she's usually pretty quiet, so don't think she hates you. She's just quiet. But she has this phrase that she says all the time that I love, and I stole it, and I didn't even tell her I'm going to use it. So when I say it in high school, she's going to be like, oh. But she says, you can't ride two horses with one butt. Can't ride two horses with one butt. I know that sounds... You could. I know that sounds funny, especially if the horses are going in opposite directions. I know that's funny, and I said butt in middle school, and you guys are going to freak out, but if this was a horse, I can't ride two horses with one butt. You've got one butt. You guys are going to go home, and your parents are going to be like, hey, what did you guys learn at Wednesday night? And you're going to be like, you can't ride two horses with one butt. But it's true. And the most serious, literal analogy of that picture, you can't ride two horses with just you. It's impossible. You'd have to you could tie them together and ride on not a sleigh, but a cart behind it, unless you were Santa. You could, but he rides behind reindeer. But You can't ride two horses with one butt. And you can't sit at God's table and you can't sit at the table of the world at the same time. We're called to be in but not of the world. Again, sin, Christ, don't go together. Last week, we talked about Hebrews 10:24 said, stir each other up for good works. That's one verse that just really clicked when I was listening last week. Sometimes with the chaos and the confusion, everything that's going on, it's hard to like focus in on what's happening at Firehouse. And, you know, me and Manny were talking earlier. It's like, Manny, what did Rob talk about last week? And we both like looked at each other. Some people just have a gift of hearing something one time and they could just literally rattle off the whole sermon to you like it just happened and they recorded it and then they put the recorder in their mouth. I'm not like that. So we talked about it and we went through the verses. And sometimes I just try to pull out one nugget, one thing that really sticks out to me, one thing, just one little nugget I can stick in my pocket and take home with me. And the nugget I got last week was we're supposed to be building each other up for good works. It said that in Hebrews 10:24. We can help each other with this repentance process. It's hard to do it on your own. You can come before God and repent for your sins, but the body's here for a reason. We don't just come and meet to just come and meet. The body is here to improve each other, to help each other out. And my prayer is as you stand before God and you repent and you draw near to Him and His grace changes your life, I hope that you would have brothers and sisters alongside of you that are lifting you up for good works. Just imagine what our community would look like. We're talking about our Jerusalem. Merritt Island is our Jerusalem. What if the 1,300 people in our church, we have roughly 1,300 people, what if every one of them just felt this call of God to repent for the things that are going on in their life? And the grace of God radically changed how they lived their life, that they lived on mission for the gospel. We talk about it a lot, and a lot of people are doing it, but I don't think we're all on board. If we're just being honest, we're not all on board with that. My prayer is that you guys would grow up and you would be on board with that mission, that as you come before God and repent and He changes your heart and His grace affects your life, I pray that you would be on board with that. That you would live a life that is worthy of the calling of the gospel. Rob's going to hit on this series a lot more next week, and I hope I didn't steal any of his thunder or anything he was going to say. I'm sure he's going to listen to it electronically between now and next Wednesday. Hey, Rob. But repentance is a huge thing that's not talked about a lot in the church. And a lot of times repentance is this fire and brimstone type thing, and we try and avoid it because we don't want to be, you know, mean or ungracious. But it's something that has to happen, guys. If you're walking with Christ and there's not a repentance process, you're doing something wrong. Because I can guarantee you none of you guys have a perfect walk with God. And you got to stand before Him and say, God, I'm sorry. You have to change this in my life. And I'm willing to do the work to make it happen. That's all I got for you guys tonight. Let's pray and get out here. God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for these kids that showed up. I truly love them and care about them. I know the leaders here do as well. I just pray that they would be real with each other, that they'd be brothers and sisters in Christ that build each other up for good works, and that part of that process would be them just being accountable to each other and just repenting before God for the things in their life that aren't looking right, that aren't pleasing you. We talked about fruit, God. I just pray that the branches that don't produce fruit would be cut off, so that the rest of the tree can grow even stronger, and that your work would be done. We love you. Thank you for your Son, what He did on the cross. Amen.